所以浪
花是开呢
我念你你所以浪花。
Let's keep strumming that if you don't mind. Heavenly Father, we're so gratefulLord Jesus, we're grateful. Holy Spirit, we're grateful. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, as we go into the world. Be free. Be free. Be free to say what you want to say. Be free to heal our hearts. Be free to lift us above. Help us, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord, and have your way.Let us be changed as we behold your glory from one level and image of Christ-likeness to a more clearer level of Christ-likeness in the name of Jesus. That being in your chambers, Lord God, you will do an eternal work so that our lives will not be the same. And you will teach us to always live within the chambers.We worship you. So, Father, as we go to your word this afternoon, I humble myself, recognizing my limitations and my infirmities in spite of everything. And so I ask you for mercy, fresh mercy under the unction and the covering of my fathers, anointing upon my heart and upon my lips, that, Lord God, you will speak through me, that I will not speak of myself,But only those things that you would have me say will I speak, and you will make my mouth like an oracle of God, so that I will speak like a divine oracle, bringing forth out of the treasure of your word all the things that you would have me say, Lord, so your word will flow like a stream of living water to bring refreshing, to bring revelation, to bring strength, Lord, to give us a fresh hope so that we will purify ourselves.Even as our God is pure in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you because as your word goes forth under covering, I duck under covering. Let the power of the prayers of my fathers and of my men, let it go forth to break yokes. Lord, to open blind eyes, to open deaf ears. Lord, to remove every veil, to set the captives free, not for price, not for reward, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we also pray that you have mercy.That the same unction and anointing will be upon the hearts and the ears of my brethren. So, Lord, beyond the words, they will hear your voice. And, Lord, they will respond to your voice in the name of Jesus. Help me, Lord. Give me mercy to be concise and to be precise. So I will redeem the time, not saying unnecessary things, but bringing forth out of the treasure of this word things new and old.Bringing glory to your name, refreshing and blessing to my fathers, and blessing and edification to my brethren. In Jesus' name, amen.
Unending is all we long for.
Amen. Thank you, man. You know, I was just thinking...And you know, the Holy Spirit is just making me understand that we really need to keep our hearts. Nothing is over until it's over. Even in natural football, things change.In 2 minutes, things change. Much more in this journey of life. You look at the children of Israel, they saw the 10 plagues, came out of Egypt with a high and mighty right hand. And of all those that came out, the 3 million that came out, only 2 of that 3 million entered the promised land. It sets you thinking. Nothing is over till it's over. They came out, but they didn't go in. We're going to go in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. But it's worth thinking and pondering. You think about a Gentile leper coming from a heathen land to a prophet, and in meeting the prophet, consecrates his life to God. And you have the prophet's servant living with the prophet for years, who exchanges his destiny for the leprosy of the leper that came. It tells you that Konshoju Lason is not ordinary. It's not ordinary. We need to be careful and to make sure we are faithful to the end. And that's what God wants to encourage us today. I remember David, great man of God. His great grandmother was a Moabitess. He would have told his daughters the story of how great-great-grandma was a Moabitess. Yes, she plugged herself into the bloodline, and here we are today. And they lived under David's roof. David's daughters lived under his roof. And today we don't know their name. Dinah, Tamar, a life of reproach. Just set aside from destiny. God will not set us aside in Jesus' name. And as I was thinking that, the thought then dropped to me, and this is the word that God gave to me. Hearts of gold and silver. That's the title. Hearts of gold and silver. And we go straight to Malachi chapter 3, verses 2 to 4. And the scripture says that who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit, it's not in a hurry, sit down as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then, after they have submitted themselves to the refining, as long as the refiner is ready to refine, they are ready to submit. Then, not their timing, his timing, shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in the former years. This is it, brethren. God is refining. The spirit of without measure has been released. It's about to be made manifest. But God is refining. And the little things matter. They count. And so God wants to turn our attention to the fact that we need to keep looking and keep removing and allow him to refine, because he's doing the refining work. It says, who may abide? The person that waits and submits unto the end. That's the person that will abide. By the mercy and the grace of God. Amen. The person allows himself to be purged. I'm saying, he scourges every son that he receives. It's not convenient, but it is rewarding. It is highly rewarding. And so God wants us to be focused, because without this, we will not enter into the rest that he has designed and ordained. Psalm 95 verse 10. This was the problem with these examples I gave you. Psalm 95, verse 10. Yeah. 40 years long was I grieved. Let's read it together. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do where? In their heart. And they have not known my ways. Next verse. Unto whom I swear in my wrath, and they should not enter into my rest. And they didn't enter. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. Because we will not err in our heart. We will please God in our heart. And cultivate a heart of gold and silver. If you have already cultivated, then you keep cultivating until the very end. Amen. So he commands us to keep his precepts diligently. That's what he said. Bible says, keep your hearts with all diligence. Proverbs 4:23. This was when God's talking about keeping our hearts. He's talking principally about the heart is the spirit we know when we are born again, you know, not just accepting to come to church and try to do good works. That's good, but that's not being born again. When you believe in Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and say it and confess it as an act of faith, then your spirit is recreated and you are born again. That state where you have received the power, you have become a child of God, you have received the power to become a son of God. Amen. A new creature. Okay? So all things are passed away, all things have become new, but it's all spirit. Now, God wants to save the soul. He needs to save the soul, because that is when he has saved the soul that the soul will behave like God. So the spirit may be saved, but when the soul is not saved, you can be saved in your spirit and you can be God in your spirit and the devil in your soul. And God doesn't want that. It brings him reproach. So what God is saying is that we now need to take that soul, our will, our mind, emotions. Basically, watch your thoughts. Let's say together, our thoughts, our choices, and our actions. Those three. Once again, our thoughts, choices, and actions. Those three. We align them by the power of the Holy Spirit to the thoughts, the choices, and the actions of God. And that is when God is happy. Now, the state of man's heart, as you well know, it is everybody's heart. The day you get born again, this is everybody's heart. If you don't get born again, this is your heart. Jeremiah 17:7. Thank you. Come on again. Verse 9. Thank you. 9. Thank you. Right. Let's read it together. The heart. This is everybody's heart. Don't say, no. Now that's the problem. You have to accept this. Otherwise, it's not going to get better. Let's read together. The heart is deceitful above all things. Say, my heart is deceitful above all things. That's without God. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? So even you can know your heart. Give me verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. Even to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of the doings. So for you to know your heart, you have to allow God to help you know your heart. Otherwise, your heart will dribble you and you will score own goal and you are busy celebrating and the goal you've scored is against you. Now, not be our portion in Jesus' name. But there are many people that it's happening to and we are doing it and we are rejoicing in it. And we're not knowing that we are going back in our hearts. Amen. God's going to help us. So basically, what God is saying, God is saying that if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, you will see this. Give it to me quickly. I need to move. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but what? Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Note that word. Next one. Casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It is when this thing takes years, decades to accomplish. You pull down strongholds, cast down imaginations. Talking about maturity. Of course, in perfection, you can flush out the sin nature in 3 years. Like the Bible says in Luke 13:32. But the actual maturity of, you know, because what happens is that Satan has built his strongholds, he puts his imaginations, and he keeps his thoughts flowing constantly. So we need to break down the stronghold. Okay, so that's a solid form. What's a stronghold? A stronghold is something that, a thought that we have accepted and acted on habitually. We reinforced it by action.
So it's not just a thought, it's become a choice, it's become an action, and it's now solid. It's like ice block. Solid state. And it's there, sitting jejeli. And then you think because you are praying, you are going to obey. No. He's not looking at you. He's watching you. Oh yeah, let's see. So many times when you say you don't have a problem. Okay, if you don't have a problem, do what you are asked to do. And that's when you now know that, with my mind, I'm serving the law of God. But with my members, I'm serving. That's why the great apostle said, I keep my body under. And you may know knowledge, but the knowledge may not affect your action. This is the key. Now, it should, and that's the will of God, and God's going to show us how to do it. But it is so easy to go away with an idea that, I know that. Oh, I've heard that before. Oh, I'm familiar with that. Question is not how familiar you are, is are you doing it? And if you are doing it, how consistently are you doing it? This is the key. So we pull down the strongholds. We cast down the imaginations. We block the thoughts. Then we allow God's thoughts in. We now build God's own imagination. We now build God's own stronghold. That's when we save the soul. It's full of Christ's strongholds, Christ's imaginations, Christ's thoughts, and the devil is totally out. And we fill the air around us with the force field. Amen. We're going to get there in Jesus' name. But you just know that it's not a walk in the park. It's not just, come to church. And all that. Whatever. No, it's really being able to think and speak and act like God. Amen. All right. So we imprison wrong thoughts. You imprison them. That they cannot manifest. You don't choose it. The Bible says in James chapter 1. Let's look at it. James chapter 1. Give me, I think it's verse 12. James chapter 1. You see the process. Right. No, let's move to the next verse. 13. Thank you. Let no man say, when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. God doesn't tempt anybody. This is going on in the air. It's the devil and us. Amen. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. Next verse. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. So there is a strategic, is coordinated. That's the word that pastor uses. It's a coordinated strategic attack. The thought comes with a feeling. The feeling is in your body. But the thought is coming from outside and it carries power with it. So as it lands, the feeling is saying, Ekabo. And you have a synergy of thought and feeling at the same time. It's called lust. A desire inconsistent with the will of God at that time. So that's what draws you out. Hey, should I? Should I not? You are being drawn out. I am being drawn out. You know, maybe not. You know, but you see, God can still save you there. This is the key. You know, he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now, the enticement is not necessarily the same. But this is where you need to now begin to alert spiritually so we can be awake spiritually. And that's why we have to watch and pray. Next verse. And when lust hath conceived, when that thought has been accepted, there's conception. It bringeth forth sin. Not done anything yet. It's accepted. That's the imagination. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. When you act on it, then the wages of sin is death. So this is the process. It's just important to understand the process. But God's going to deliver us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
He's already delivering us. But we need to know that everything we're doing has to do with our hearts. Not necessarily what men can see, but what's going on in our hearts as well as what men can see. Amen. God will have mercy on us. He's already having mercy on us, but we need to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 45. Give it to me in the Message Bible. Just look at that. Just so you can see quickly what God is saying. Message Bible. Right. Thank you. Message Bible. Thank you. The tools of our trade and for marketing or manipulation. But therefore, demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture in the soul. Next verse. We use powerful God tools. What are our God tools? The blood, the word, the spirit, the name, amen, eternal life, for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotional impulse into the structure of a life shaped by Christ. Amen. And give God a clap of amen. Amen. We will take it, it's loose. We take it and correct it and fit it in and build it as part of the temple that God is coming to inhabit. Amen. So basically, brethren, we are moving from four different, we make a transition along different stages. We move from a scorner's heart. A scorner's heart. Okay, Proverbs 9:8 talks about a scorner's heart. That's a heart that hardens itself against God and risks destruction. That's a scorner's heart. Well, I don't want to waste time, but that's an important look at. Yes. Say, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man. So the scorner, he doesn't just disagree. He attacks. He attacks the truth to show his disagreement and that he's rebellious. He hardens himself against God. And God shows him mercy, so he thinks he got away with it. Until suddenly, Bible says, suddenly he shall be destroyed. This does not have anything to do with your external look. You can look very gentle. You can be bowing down to greet like this. It doesn't mean scorner is relative to what God asks us to do. And it's a habitual thing. We don't get there one day. Okay? So we work on our heart. So it moves from a scorner's heart to a fool's heart. Now, a fool's heart, Proverbs Psalm 14:1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So a fool naturally takes a view against God. He's not going to fight God, but that's just how he sees things. It's the carnal mind. Like Pastor was talking about beautifully this morning in that Bible study, because he said several things, as you see later on. Okay, so he's a fool's heart, which naturally takes a view against God and needs the rod frequently. God needs to beat the fool. Proverbs 22 verse 15. Bible says, you know, a rod for the fool's back. So from scorner to fool's heart, from a fool's heart to a simple heart. The simple person is a person that just sees things on face value. But if you tell him that, there's something deeper going on, and true, he will accept it. But basically just sees things naturally. Okay, and doesn't see anything, so everything is very simple. Everything is good. Bible says, but when you smite the scorner, immediately the simple will beware. But the you don't even need to tell him. Once he sees that the scorner is being smite, he already there's something wrong here. He will flow. So it shows you different degrees of being open to God, you know, and wanting to do what God wants us to do. At least separating ourselves from the devil. And ultimately, our heart to become a wise heart. Amen? This is where God wants us to get to. A wise heart is a heart that seeks the truth. Amen? Proverbs chapter 1 verse 5. Let's look at that. Let's focus on that, because that's Proverbs 1:5. A wise man will do what? He will what? Hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. A wise heart. Amen. That's where we're going. And that's where we're going to be living. In Jesus' name. A wise man embraces instruction. Proverbs 9:9. He embraces instruction. You know, instruction is not easy, because it doesn't give you the option of your own opinion. It just tells you, bam, this is it. And you take it. And whether you like it or not, it's not begging. It's not, you know, so it's very hard to take. But a wise heart embraces it. Okay. So it says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. And then he departs from evil. So from a heart that is departing from God, we end up with a heart that seeks God and departs from evil. Proverbs 14:16. And that's the transition God wants us to make. Amen. And we're going to make that transition in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, why is this important? Why is this important? The very first thing is that there's a consequence for everything that we do. I'm not talking about physical action consequence. I'm talking about heart consequence. There's a consequence in our heart. So that thing is very important to understand. Proverbs 9:12. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 12. Let's read together. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for your mommy, for your pastor, for your generation. Who is the first beneficiary? Thyself. But if thou scornest, what? Thou alone shall bear it. And if you are not careful, not only you alone, your generations will bear it. That's on our portion in Jesus' name. Saul killed the Gibeonites. And as far as it was concerned, nothing happened. I'm king. I've killed them. These are the Gibeonites. I don't know if I remember the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites are the people that Joshua made a pact with. They deceived him. And God said, no, leave them with you. And they will be serving you, fetching water, hewers of wood. And when I laughed for generations, and one day Saul just woke up. Ah, these people, I remember what they did against us. Realize the day of judgment has come. And went and killed them. He killed them. Now Saul died. Years after, the effect of what he did was still in the air. David now is asking, why do we have this famine? And God said it's because of the Gibeonites. So they went and took 10 sons of Saul. As far as Saul is concerned, in his lifetime, nothing happened. But you get away with nothing. It's, you need to understand the certainty of God's judgment and the security of his mercy. That's the fear of God. Pastor has taught us that very well. In that, you know that you're not getting away. You know, you can play man, but you cannot play God. That he sees your thoughts, he sees what's coming ahead, and then you think you're being smart. You are not being smart, you're being foolish. This is the fool's heart. There is no God, nobody is seeing us. We'll get away with it. Let's quickly do it. Nothing is further from the truth. So Matthew 23:33. Let's look at that. The Bible says that. 33:33. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Jesus was telling them, they thought they were going to escape. They thought they had escaped, that because they are doing holy things and they are keeping the law, the letter of the law, that they were righteous. They had broad phylacteries. And was telling them that, look, you are going in the other direction at high speed. And you don't know how can you escape? You're going so fast. You need to slow down. You can't escape. You're not escaping anything. So what is God telling us? You know, he's telling us that we should understand that there is a certainty of judgment and have a healthy fear of God. At the same time, we should understand that every good that you do, if you do good, you reap mercy and grace. That makes your heart more malleable in God's hands. So the converse is also true. So when you are making that choice, don't make just whether people see or they don't see. Or don't look at just the benefit in the physical. Look at the effect on my heart. How will this affect my heart? And there are some sins that go beyond the heart. They affect even the vessel. Like fornication and sexual sins. They even affect the... I don't care how many people are doing it. They're not getting away with anything. They're going to get payment in stages. As they are investing, it will yield dividend. You know, you did it. Nobody knew. Forget all that. and start thinking to yourself, God knows, have mercy on me. God knows, help me to change. Mommy does not know, daddy does not know, doesn't have anything to do with it. This step. Because after a certain time, God begins to hold young people responsible for their actions. God begins to hold you responsible. So you cannot say mommy or dad. Can't plead the fifth. You can't plead anything. You are going to stand and sit for what you have said and what you have done. So it's not sorry and continue. You sorry, you repent, you forsake. That's what God is saying. It's a soberness that God is saying, you need to understand that it's not like that, so that we can allow our hearts to transit from into a wise heart quicker than we are hitherto doing. That's what God is saying. Amen. The other way that sin deceives us, because sin, Bible talks about deceitfulness of sin. One way is to say that you will escape. The other way is that, you know, we feel we are more, all of us, we are more spiritual than we think we are more spiritual than we really actually are. And that is simply because we hear and we don't obey instruction. The more you obey instruction, that's your, if you want to know how obedient, how spiritual you are, how obedient are you to instruction? That's the plumb line. How obedient? You read the whole of Genesis. The whole of Exodus, the whole of Numbers, Leviticus, you know, and then because and Deuteronomy, we even have an idea when the Bible says in Hebrews that Moses was faithful in all his house. God gave Moses instruction after instruction. Instruction after instruction. And the Bible says, and Moses did as the Lord commanded. He didn't turn to the right. He didn't turn to the left. He didn't have an opinion. He just did exactly what God asked him to do. And when God now says it in Hebrews, you have to understand that it was not just 2 days or 2 weeks or 2 years or 20 years. It was something Moses did consistently. And we ourselves have to begin to measure ourselves by how obedient we are to the instruction. And as soon as we disobey, quickly repent. And look for the next instruction to obey. So you can make progress. It's not how much revelation you have. It's how much instruction we obey. It's not how much revelation we have. Revelation soon. Even donkeys give revelation. A donkey spoke to a prophet. Judas healed the sick. Spoke with revelation. We don't know the book, but we know the power of God worked through him. So definitely the wisdom of God could have worked through him. Jesus didn't follow them where they were going. Everybody went in different directions. But an anointing on him. So he spoke. But the question is, how obedient was he? This is the key. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. And that's why, you know, we should be careful. Aaron and Miriam were with Moses. They knew they were older than them. They knew the instruction. They knew everything. And they felt that. So when Moses, to them, disobeyed an instruction, they just came out and said, And, you know, because Miriam was one that instigated it, the same leprosy. There's something about sin and leprosy in the Bible. Some of us in leprosy, you know, a certain kind of heart attracts leprosy. And God said, shh, take that for 7 days. And she was an elder. So that's why the Bible says that be not many teachers, be not many masters, because the standard is higher, the standard of action. So it's an evil day. And that's what God is trying to say, that we need to be aware. We need to be watching your heart. Watching your heart. Watching my heart. Am I obeying the instruction? How consistently am I obeying the instruction? Is it one-off? You know, is it 30% of the time? Is it 60% of the time? Is it 80% of the time? Is it 90% of the time? This is the key. All our praying, all our coming to church, that's where it's at. It's in the obedience by the mercy and the grace of God. Then it's also important to understand that we're in an evil day. And in an evil day, there is collateral damage. Stuff happens to people. that it's not that they're sinning more than, you know, because when things happen, we have this tendency of what sin did he sin that brought that incident upon him. But the question is not what sin did he sin. The question is what kind of heart does he have that he'd not attract the mercy and the grace of God to keep that thing away. Shows himself strong. That is, thank you, Pastor Dave. Now, of course, you may not have the power yourself, but there are people in the Bible that didn't know God from Adam, and God kept them back from making mistake. So how come God was unable to help certain other people? You must think about it. God is not partial. God is not partial. And this is why God told them in Luke 13, when it was talking, when we were talking about, we were reporting Herod to Jesus and said that he mingled people's blood with sacrifices. And you know, let's just turn there quickly. Luke 13, verse 1. And Jesus was telling them, he just hit that mentality. We have that, all of us have it. Okay, there was present that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. No, political leaders do all sorts of things. To children of God, so to speak, and so-called get away with it. Look at the next verse. They were expecting him to go and fight Herod and say, what you did is wrong, and I punish you for that. Like John the Baptist. And Jesus answered to them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. Next verse. I tell you, nay. That's not the answer. But except you repent. Where is repentance? In the heart. You shall all likewise perish. In short, wrong place, wrong time. Where you are, what you do is a function of your heart. So it's so important to make sure that that heart is sensitive. It is transiting towards God. So God can get across your heart quickly. Because we're in an evil time. We're in an evil time. It's not a time to be going around. It's the rainy season. You need to be carrying your umbrella. Your spiritual umbrella. Covering needs to be available. And you enjoy covering by right attitude, obedience to instruction, and giving. Not just tithe and offering, but giving of your substance. But then whether you say amen or not, it does not matter. These are the realities. The person, you know, a warning is not a curse. Pastor has taught us that very well. A warning is an act of love so that something negative will not happen. It will not happen to us in Jesus' name. But you know, that's not going to do it. When I say it will not happen in Jesus' name, and then how many places are they saying that it should not happen in Jesus' name? Is there any place where they are praying and say it will happen in Jesus' name? Is there anywhere, brethren? Is there any church where they're praying, let this happen to us in Jesus' name? Is there anywhere? Is it happening? So it tells you that no, it's not going to happen in Jesus' name. It's not what's going to stop it. You have to keep your heart. And you are clapping. That one is for Jesus. Clap for Jesus. Clap properly for Jesus. He's trying to save us. Keep yourself properly under covering. Don't let your leg be outside. Don't let your leg be outside. Or your hand. Like children put their hand out of the car. They're enjoying the breeze. Don't let your leg be outside. Keep everything under. And when you're under, don't stay by the edge. Move to the center. Ami gogon. That's where the action is. Now, that journey is not easy to make. But you must make that transition. Because we are living in an evil time. That's what God is saying. Now, that's the negative. Now moving more towards positive now. Why? Divine life and power flows out of our hearts. Proverbs 4:23 gives us that. Quickly. No, Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So what we say, look at verse 24. Put away from thee a fraud mouth and perverse lips too far from thee. What you say? is coming out of your heart. Verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. What you see is a function of your heart. What you say, what you see, and then we begin to move. Verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet, and all thy ways be established. Your choices, decisions, is coming out of your heart. That's why you have to keep the heart. If you keep your heart, naturally the thoughts will be taken care of. The choices will be taken care of. Do you understand what I mean? You know, you don't have to sit down and start thinking. No, just keep your heart. That's what Bible Pastor has been teaching us. Keep your heart and all your ways will be established. Amen. Our ways will be established in Jesus' name. Bible says the lines are falling for us in pleasant places. But it takes the heart to walk along that pleasant place. Amen. The heart can stray. It can, if you don't put it and tell it, be by Nicolo. Oh, the good. If you do, I will slap your head. That's when you. Because satanic nature is in it. So once you want to see, go to the right prayer. That's why the first sin in that list of sins in that new book. What's that first sin? Prayerlessness. Prayerlessness is the number one sin that pastor put there. You think he left pride, rebellion, stubbornness, envy, and put prayer? No, why? Because prayer is the way you control the heart. When you don't pray, the heart is going to be doing, oh, mama, who, yeah? Oh, mama, you okay? You pull out your horn here. All sorts of funny. So you have to, with prayer. Bible says, I do not beat the air. I don't know pummel as one that is beating the air, but I put my body under. I do alonjebe. Not just concentrated prayer, but in between, moment by moment, once every 6 hours, at every opportunity, in every that's why they said at every opportunity, it's because of the heart. Every opportunity, in every temptation. We're going to overcome it and keep it under in Jesus' name. All right? Now, I want to show you an example from the life of David. First Samuel 25, verse 14. Now, I'm going to run quickly. First Samuel 25. Are you getting something out of this? Amen? All right? It's not a doom and gloom message, but it is sober for God to enable us to really take things very seriously. So, we know the story of David and Nabal. David is a man after God's own heart. So if this happened in his heart, I mean, maybe you are a man after God's heart. I say you are a man and woman after God's own heart in Jesus' name. Amen. But you know, it doesn't really work like that. All right, but I've still said it. Like, it's good. Amen. And you take it and use it in Jesus' name. Because it's coming under covering. Oh, I didn't say it by myself. So I mean, there's power behind what I'm saying. So you use it positive, but you must know that it's not just amen that's going to do it. So you learn from David's example. Say, but one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. Next verse. Quick. But the men were very good to us. We were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. Next verse. They were a wall unto us, both by night and by day. That's covering. All the while we were with them, keeping the sheep. The man was telling Abigail, we're under covering of David. And he sent some things to our master. And the master just insulted them and treated them badly. That's wrong. Next verse. Now therefore know and consider what thou will do. Etiamelu. For evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. You must not be like Nabal. Koshe Basoro. Are you approachable? To what degree are you approachable? Especially when you are angry. Brethren, these are the things you have to check. Come at it. Come have you know? Be like mommy. You know what mommy does? Tongues. Jacko sekelebedi popo kaka. Rebo bo bo bo. Yes, so. Just be giving you life.
And after now, mommy just be looking at you like this. It's growth. It's growth. You see, you will grow in Jesus' name. So rather than be getting angry, just be answering anyhow. You know, pray. And don't be like Nabal. Okay? All right. So this is what Nabal did. We see Nabal. Now see verse 21 quickly. And 22. Now David had said, this is David's thinking. Now so you can see our reaction when we are provoked. David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow had in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed out of all that pertained unto him. And he had requited me evil for good. Is this true? It's true. Next verse. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David. If I leave of all that pertain to him by the morning, any that pisseth against the wall. Is this good? No. So sometimes you make 1 + 1 and get 1,100. Yes, so he went from 1 in one verse, added another 1, some zeros, and the figure had changed. That's how we are. This is our heart. Man of God. Man after God's own heart. Under the right temperature and pressure. Amen. That means that God will have mercy on us. And the answer is amen. Okay, so we see that this is what he did. And he had made a mistake. He had already taken a position that was not his own to take. It was not his own to take. He should have left Nabal alone. And that is a very important lesson here. Brethren, let your enemies enjoy forgiveness. Let your enemy just leave them alone. Your blessing can come from anywhere. Your God is the God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The silver is his. The gold is his. If a man disappoints you, God will not disappoint you. Very important though, don't take it personal, because you complicate your situation. That's a lesson. Next verse, give me 25 quickly. Let not my Lord. So she got up immediately. Wise woman, talk to God, and God gave her direction. But I said, let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is. See, your thoughts, your choices, your actions determine your name. So a thought, reap an act. So an act, reap a habit. So a habit, reap a character. So a character, reap a destiny. Thoughts determine destiny. What did God say? I know my thoughts towards you, to give you an expected end. You must keep choosing God's thoughts to arrive at God's end. So that those thoughts form imaginations, those imaginations form strongholds. Where did David hide when Saul was chasing him? Strongholds! Bible says he will hide in the strongholds of Engedi. He will hide in strongholds. You have to hide in strongholds away from the sin nature. But that's the point here. That Nabal, it says, as his name is Nabal, his name fully is with him. But I that have saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Next verse. This is the voice of God. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord has withholding thee from coming to shed blood. He's talking to him. So God can withhold us. You can have an imagination and not act on it. God can hold you back. Abimelech had taken Sarah, but he didn't act on it. So God, that means that it's not just once or twice. Now that it's just one person or two people. It's everybody. God tried to stop Samson. The same way he did for all of them. The same way he's doing now. He did it for Samson, but Samson, mama bam me so, get her for me. She pleased me well. That's the one I want. The one you say I should not have. That's the one I want. I can have anything I like. Oh. But at a cost, your heart. He's given desires of the heart and sent what? Leanness. Must be careful. So it's not about getting your way. It's about getting God's way. Because if you take the wrong way, you will have what you want.
But the question is, at what cost? Nothing is free. No free lunches. None is a cost. That's what God is saying. So now, therefore, the Lord has withholding me from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thy own hand. Now let thine from avenging with thy own hand. Now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. So she advised him and told him, God has helped you and stopped you from shedding innocent blood. She told him, oh, now David was angry. Question is, when you're angry like this, can servants and mere mortals, can they talk to you? Joab! Will you take this woman? He deserves to die. And I will finish him. And you too. That could have been a response. And Joab doesn't need to be told twice. I'm sure you know that. He doesn't need that sort of thing for twice. No. But he didn't respond like that. Brethren, you must be able to listen. No. A listening ear. You must be cultivated. He listened and left it. And God took his steps in his own time. Look at verse 28 quickly. David now knew. Verse 28. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy handmaid, for the Lord will suddenly make my Lord a sure house. Because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and even has not been found in thee all thy days. Next verse. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. She's giving him his story. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life. Zoe, false field. With the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, him shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. Oh, Nijabo. That's what they're telling him in Yoruba. You won't fall. When you are in a sling, God can have a sling and keep you in that sling and you won't fall out. Your enemies will be like in a sling and then they fall out of a sling. But your God will wrap you in a bundle of life. But you see, the thing about it is that your action can open that bundle. I was telling him, don't open the bundle. Next verse. And it shall come to pass that when the Lord has done according to all that good that he has spoken concerning thee, and have appointed the ruler over Israel. Next verse. We need to move quickly. That this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord. You can have offense in the heart. Either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord had avenged himself. Both are wrong. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thy handmaid. Forget about that. David, remember in the slavery. Verse 39. She just felt remember and reward, but David went, you know what I mean. All right. Next verse. But when David heard that Nabal was dead, what did he say? Let's read together. Blessed be the Lord, which had pleaded the cause of my reproach. God will plead the cause of your reproach. Amen. Don't do it by yourself. From the hand of Nabal, and have kept thy servant from evil, for the Lord had returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David said, and come in with Abigail to take her with him to wife. All right. So you see the example that God fights for you. He will fight for you. You have major enemies. Satan, the sin nature, like Pastor Dewey was saying, the carnal mind. Human enemies are low on the pecking order. Don't fight a battle on the front that will stretch out your resources too thin. Don't fight. No, that's how Hitler overdid it. Was plundering Poland, went through France, and like Pastor has told us, I'm a student of war. I've not read one single book. Just listen to my pastor's message. Give Pastor a clap of it. It's amazing. Went through Poland, went through Hungary, all those countries, all that. And thought just came to his heart. Russia. Oh no, there go. Oh, rah. He chose it. Then he acted on it. And then winter came. And then they died. More of them died from the winter than from the war. And that's how they were able to round him up. And they beat him in that front and they sent him back on all the other fronts. Amen. So what I was trying to say, but that's what Satan is trying. Sometimes you are sitting pretty. You are going right on your own way. And then it will distract you. Don't get caught up in that. Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. All right. So we'll move on. All right. Number three, God has a plan. All right. So flow with God's plan. What is God's plan? To save you, to warn you, and to teach you in all wisdom to bring you to perfection. Colossians 1:28. The Bible says, whom we preach, warning every man, and we present every man perfect in Christ. All right. So this is what God is saying. God has a plan. He's bringing us to power. And in that place of perfection, this is the end result. Daniel chapter 5 verse 12. Daniel 5 12. Let's read it together. All right. We've seen that. Daniel 5 12. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, showing of hard sentences, dissolving of doubts, were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. He's talking about the character and the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, does all that dissolving doubts, interpreting of dreams, all that is an incredible photographic memory, incredible mathematical skills, incredible artistic and musical skills. That's what he's talking about. That is the equivalent in this time. But the character is first. That's the end result. Then when God sees that character, he entrusts that spirit without measure unto those that have that character. And if you are following fathers who have that character, then you take of that anointing under them, you borrow of that anointing, and you walk in line of that. All right. So, brethren, we're on the path. Like in Philippians 3:12, we're on the path. We forget the things that are past. We reach forth for the things that are before. We press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ. There is a prize. There is a prize. And we keep our eyes on the prize. Keep our eyes on the prize. Don't get focused with what you're going through. Keep eyes on. When you get the prize, forget about all the things that cost you. The Bible says, for joy a man is born into the world. Joy comes. The joy of pleasing God and fulfilling God's plan. Amen. And of course, Romans 8:19, when we have done that, then the whole creation is now waiting for our manifestation so that we can demonstrate that glory and cause the glory, the knowledge of the glory to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's the goal. That's the plan. It's a secret plan. And the Bible uses the word mystery. It's a secret. It's a mystery. We're not just living ordinary lives. We are living ordinary lives to explode into the supernatural. Amen. And we're going to be supernatural in a regular way. Supernatural in a regular way. You know, and in fact, how good it will be. You know, the day you come to church and not one person is ill. Amen. But have you thought about it? No, there's glory. The person you are sitting next to, anointing is coming from him to heal you. Papa, your own flesh, by reason of growth, after a while, you yourself receive the anointing resident in your mortal body. Can you imagine that? This is not feeling. We have the headache. It's alien. Talk less of illness. Healthy, prosperous, humble, committed Christians, family. That's what God is saying. Amen. No, but this journey to excellence, it starts initially with mistakes. But I want to tell you that those mistakes are necessary. If you don't make mistakes, you won't make anything. The Bible says a just man falls how many times? 7 judgments complete. Proverbs 24:16. God has designed it like that because many times the reason God gave us the law. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Pastor touched on this when he was teaching at the beginning of 1 Timothy. but as Pastor has taught us several times as well. Look at it. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 to 11. 1 Timothy 1, 8 to 11. For we know that the law is good. If a man use it lawfully, you would have thought that the law makes you good. That's what the Pharisees thought. They thought that if I do the law, then I'm okay. Isn't it? But that's not God's plan. See, you don't know what God is looking for in the God's exam. See, what God was looking, God put the law there to excite the sin to come out. Because the sin was there lurking, and everyone was feeling as if, oh, I'm holy. But you're not holy. There is sin there. And you won't know there is sin there until God shows you there is sin there. So do what? Knowing this, let's read that. For the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, next verse, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. If there be anything that is called a sound doctrine, next verse, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. The law is supposed to expose all those things. And you see it live. When they say, leave another man's wife, that is when they tell you, no, look, you're not doing anything wrong. Tell you, it's breaking the law. When they say, don't do, that's when you want to do. That's Romans 7:22 all over again. You know? So the Bible says, oh, wretched man that I am. We must get to that point. It's a very important point. Because you now recognize that it's not by power, it's not by might, it's now by the mercy and the Spirit of God. Get to that point. It's part of the plan. Otherwise, you think it's your prayer. The way people can't pray, you don't understand. You think, I go study ni, toba study dada. Study sha. It's not based. No, just sit down and God will come and say, what are you doing? I don't know what I'm doing. Well, let me help you. It's not studying. It's mercy. It's mercy. It's mercy. I know you did that exam and you got high marks. But recognize it. It's mercy. God is self-effacing. He's not fighting for the glory with you. In fact, he will give you the glory. It is your place to give it back. So that you can recognize that it's not you. It's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. Horse is prepared unto the battle. But safety is of who? It's not of you. It's not of me. Thousand things could have gone wrong. Amen. Alright. So this is the chief heart error that God wants to correct. The heart error of just go from 0 to 100. And like the man that went and met Jesus and asked Jesus, he said, what must I do to have eternal life? And I said, keep the commandment. Bros, I've been doing that from my youth. Jesus said, join primary 1, primary 2, and we'll see how far God goes. Primary 2, bros, it means 1 year level. 0 to 100 in 3 seconds. And God and Jesus said, I know you, it's not like that. Okay, if that is so, let's give you entry point A level question. Share, it's ready. Okay. Now, take what you have, sell it, give it to the poor, take up your cross and follow me. Ah, but what me? You sat down in the exam, could I come? Ah, but bros, you are in A level class. It's not like that. You must get to a point where this heart error, where we are the one doing it, but I fast, but I pray. It's not that. It is, do you obey? The wisdom and power to obey flows out of a broken heart. That's really the issue. I would say it's a broken and a contrite spirit. That will not despise. It's about the heart, brethren. On anything else. How do we do it? All right, Proverbs 9, verse 1. Just run through this. We know it. seven pillars. Amen. Proverbs chapter 9. How do we do it? This pastor has taught us very well. I'll just hit some of the main highlights, you know. Proverbs 9 verse 1. Wisdom has built a house, she has hewn out her seven pillars. Wisdom is God. Bible says Christ, the wisdom of God. Okay? So wisdom is really talking about God. So God is the one, you must have faith in God. Now, right on this same verse, God put in that same verse, he said she had hewn out her seven pillars. So she has hewn out, that's at two levels. She's hewn out seven pillars. There are pillars, Bible says, them who seem to be pillars. There are pillars in the body. Apostolic fathers, apostolic and prophetic servants, you know, that God has set in the church. And they hold up the house he's building. Just like pillars are holding up this house. They hold up the house. That's one. They now give you instructions that must be complete. They must, it's epignosis, that is revelation knowledge that is complete. What, why, and how. There is a know-how. So, like using Pastor Day's message this one. There's a know-how to deal with your heart. Otherwise, it will dribble you. And it's by obeying the instructions that you can get to a point where you can obey and deal with the heart. Those are the seven pillars at two levels. People, and then the instructions of those fathers. It's very important that we understand that. Okay? In particular, you must understand when he talks about faith in God, you need particularly relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's the one helping us here now. His presence is here. He's the one explaining to everybody at our different levels, encouraging us. Now you're not sleeping, you know, and all that. He's the one doing it. Amen? So that relationship with the Holy Spirit is key. Right? All right? So what do you do to these fathers? It's very important. First Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13. We esteem them very highly. We obey their instructions. And we make them worthy of, they are worthy of double honor. We honor them with tithes and offerings. Bible says, you honor the Lord with your substance. So there's substance. And Bible talks of the first fruits of your increase, your tithe. So it's two. It's a beautiful word. I'm just confirming what Pastor Day preached in the morning. Amen. Verse 2. Proverbs 9. You need to be quick. Verse 2. Thank you. Right. She had killed her beasts. She had mingled her wine. She had also furnished her table. She had made everything available. She's made so much available. All right? And when you talk about available, it's talking about the blood, the word, the spirit. But to use all that, using the pillars, the instruction of the pillars, we come down to four main instructions. Watching and praying. At least once every 6 hours. No, that's Mark chapter 1, verse 35, 2 Samuel 6, 13. We have that. Okay? Alright. Luke 21, 36. You watch and pray so you can escape the corruption. Thank you. Luke 21, 36. Let's look at Luke 21, 36. So we need to do that always. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that it may be accounted worthy to escape. You will escape the end of Gehazi in Jesus' name. By doing this, you will escape. You will escape by doing this. No, to escape and to come that and to stand before the Son of Man. There's no need to be afraid. I have to watch and pray. Then, good morning, Jesus prayers. Travailing prayer. That's where that comes in. Romans 8, 26. You have to pull down those strongholds in the, you know, they're in the, these heavens. You go to the heavens over there, break their power, then you can do stuff here. But you can't do anything here because the power of doing anything here is coming from over there. So it's very important. So the good morning Jesus prayers have that as travailing prayer. Then daily rhema, that's where the word comes in. So you're talking about, you know, prayer, which is the spirit, you know, the blood, the spirit, the travail, you know, then, no, you're talking about daily Bible reading. Then you're talking about daily rhema, where you are eating apostolic, you're on the apostolic and prophetic diet.
So that you have, so that there are keys that are opening up different things so you can unlock the door. And God will set for you an open door. He will give you an open door into certain strongholds in your life. And you open them and pull them down. I'm says you undo the heavy burdens. You break your every yoke and let the oppressed go free. That's how you do it. And then you practice divine love. So all that is there. So when it says that she has healed and killed a beast. You know, the beast there are talking about the ox and the ass. They are dead to self. It's the death to self that allows them to bring out that revelation. And that comes out to you and I. Amen. All right. So they make a feast, basically. All right. Verse 3. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Now, this is important. You know, when it talks about maidens, the fathers are there, but their maidens are different levels. You know, it was Naaman's maidens that made him twice. They made him not to miss that healing that God wanted for him. The first one was the girl that made him set out in the first place. Second one was his servant that spoke to him when he was angry. Abigail was a maiden to David in the issue of Nabal. There are maidens that God sets. Sometimes they are parents. Sometimes they are pastors. Sometimes they are your spouses. Sometimes they are our children. Sometimes they are your colleagues. And sometimes they are total strangers. You must have ears to hear. He's talking, the question is, what they are saying, is it the truth? It's not whether he's doing it or he's not doing it. The question is that, what he's saying, is it the truth? Does it apply to me now? And you take it. This is the key. We're all about the truth. Don't get defensive. No, you have to give wisdom top priority. Bible says, the pastor quoted that and that. Luke 12:58. Look at it. Luke 12:58 as we begin to close. Luke 12:58. When thou goest with thine adversary to the who? Magistrate. Magistrate is the court of right and wrong, isn't it? But your adversary is the devil. You're busy arguing the devil. It's not a sin. It's a sin. Not a sin. I didn't sin. Not a sin. I mean, I didn't do anything wrong. Why are you busy? Confess the thing. Accept it. And confess it. And move on. Why are you... You're going to wind up. See the end of it. You know, as thou art in the way. He says, while you're on the way, you still have time. While you're on the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him. Quickly accept. Diligence. Confess your sin. Accept. Repent. Forsake. And move on. And you just leave him. You will be going to the judge or the magistrate. And you have turned back and you are moving on in another direction. Rather than following him, lest he heal thee to the judge and not deliver thee to the officer and the officer cast thee into prison. He says, you won't come out until you pay it all. There's no point. So this issue is not about man. It's about God in my heart and my conscience. Amen. That's the key. 4. Love truth. Proverbs 9:4. Proverbs 9:4. Let's go there. Proverbs 9:4. Thank you. Says, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him. So, yeah, you love truth. No, don't be simple. You have to love truth. Don't assume you have truth. If you reject truth, no, the Bible says that the turning away of the simple is what slays them. You know, and that opens you up to the spirit of Babylon. That's the slaying there. It's not a physical slaying. You know, it's a slaying with deception and delusion. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. I'm not going to turn there, but I put up the scripture. Deception and delusion. Once you don't have truth, once you reject truth, you swallow a lie. There is no middle ground. This is why you must love the truth passionately. Bible says, love her and she will keep thee. Exalt her, she will promote you. She will give you a crown of life. 1 Peter 4:7-9. You have to go out of your way to get the truth. There's no point to prove. Right. God will have mercy on us. Verse 5. Come.
eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Next verse. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. The bread and the wine are emblems of the word, okay, that builds you up, revelation knowledge, that opens your eyes. Then you can forsake foolishness. Foolishness is bound in the heart of all spiritual children. Both spiritual children and natural children, there's foolishness there. But you can only depart from foolishness to the degree that you have wisdom. So when you have eaten the bread and the wine, that you can see and say, ah, this is foolishness, I depart from it. So everybody forsakes. Forsaking is something everybody have to do. We forsake thoughts, we forsake choices, we forsake actions, and we forsake certain people. But you know, if you have wrong associations, you can't forsake those people except you forsake the things that you and them find common. It is until you forsake the thoughts, forsake the choices, forsake the actions, that you can forsake the people. Nothing from outside can defile a man. It's what is inside. I know they may have a negative influence on you, but you're not going to get away from them by just hiding from them. You're going to change from inside. You forsake, and it's by eating the bread, it's by drinking the wine, it's by coming to church, it's by listening to the word, it's by obeying the instruction. And hey, then you have enough strength and enough light to say, ah, okay, so this is what, and then you turn away. That's forsake. Amen. Everybody has to forsake. To get to God's expected end, we have to forsake. Forsake good for better. Forsake nice for excellent. Amen. Forsaking is a lifestyle. You forsake what is okay, you forsake it for what is better and best. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Look at Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 13. Chapter 1, I beg your pardon, verse 13. 1 Timothy 13, chapter 1, verse 13. Look at Paul. Who was beforehand a what? Blasphemer, but he forsook. And a persecutor, but he forsook. And injurious, but he forsook. But I obtained mercy, but I did ignorant in unbelief. Next verse. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. When he forsook, grace and love was the result. Amen. All right. So, and that was what helped him. You know, and look at verse 16, further down. Verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul is the pattern. We are following after him. So you also are an example in Paul. Look at verse 17. Now to the King Eternal, immortal, invisible. This is the person that's going to help you follow Paul's example. The King Eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, to whom be honor and glory forever and ever. Verse 18. And this child I come unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare. We need prophetic word. And that's why from time God gives us prophetic words. Joel chapter 2. No, to keep things in perspective. Isaiah 60. You know, you begin to know you're flying in the cloud to understand. That's how you fight. You fight by prayer, you know, using the word. And then you fight by keeping those words in your heart. You meditate those words. Meditate the scriptures. You meditate glory scriptures. Meditate. That's how you fight. You keep your mind and keep your heart. Amen. And then verse 19. You hold fast to the armor of love, holding faith and a good conscience. Those are armors. Faith is one of the armors. And a good conscience, talking about our featured with the preparation of gospel of peace, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. So we're not talking about anything that is different, but God is helping us to see from another scripture that Paul went from blasphemer to pattern apostle. You also can go from wherever God picked you up to become like Christ. This is the purpose of God for our lives.
a heart of gold and a heart of silver. Let us pray. Let's talk to God. Working on our hearts, refining, yielding to the truth. Leaning on the Holy Spirit. Responding to the maidens God sends to you. Wanting to do His will and not yours. So that God can get across to you. Being obedient to instruction. Heart of gold. More obedience. More obedience.
Purify my heart. Let it be as gold and precious silver.
Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this afternoon, showing me that more than ever before, I need you to help me purify, sanctify my heart so that my heart will not be deceitful, but will grow to be a wise heart that seeks truth, loves instruction, and is obedient. Heavenly Father, I submit my heart to you. Help me, Lord, to recognize my spiritual fathers and to align myself under covering, opening my bowels toward them so that I will dwell effectively under covering
and the power of God flowing through them, and my own prayers and obedience will cause my heart to be purified, that you will remove the sin nature in my heart and transform my heart into a heart of gold and silver. Help me, Father, to be patient. I forget the things that are past. I reach forth for the things that are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. I will not give up. I will rise up again. I will forsake foolishness, and I will go in the way of understanding until I enter into the fullness of my destiny. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Jare baba ko ambakan tomanta rapakaka sheke de bebedi ko batua rapakaka sheka maya rel mabo apakatan don tinga na babana jeke baba katikasa rebakano rebeginat rapakato ba jenamia barokata jenobos mekana maya renam binyam tomanga kange rose ba you are me and ronde bere no babom mi baba baba bakata wa baba kataka rina mamo mimo baba ma In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you all for you having spoken to us so expressly this evening, this morning, this afternoon. Thank you for your mercies. Lord Jesus, we are grateful. Thank you for lifting us up on eagle's wings today. Thank you for visitation by your Spirit in this place today. We return to glory and worship. And Lord, Holy Spirit, please purify us. Purge us, cleanse us from within, and make us holy. Holy, sanctified, separated unto the use, the holy use of our Father in this season of the glory. We are grateful. And thank you for the covering of our fathers. Thank you for this place that is prepared for us to, Lord, grow up in, Lord, into the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ through their prayers, through their labor of love over the years. Thank you, Lord, because we have now come to Mount Zion. We are grateful, Lord. We want to know we appreciate your love. Father, Lord Jesus, and Lord Holy Spirit, we return all the glory and all the praise and honor unto you, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Amen. And so, Heavenly Father, Lord, under the authority of my fathers, I come in order with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd and bishop of our souls in this house. Pray and say, the Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make his face to shine upon us. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord God gives us peace. God makes us head and not tail. We're above only and not beneath. And so we prosper in all that we set our hands upon to do. We're at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. So we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with long life, and he shows us his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ and the manifestation of the Spirit without measure in the name of Jesus. And also the Lord anoints us with the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, amen. The grace, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell them, say, Lord, purify your hearts as you remain under covering in Jesus' name. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.